this morning, Shalom. Shalom. I am Joshua, son of Nun. And I can't imagine a better place to be than to be here with you. What is this? Ah, I see that you have some bread and you have some juice, and that you've done that to remember the one that my mentor Moses had spoken to me about. And he had said this in a prophecy at one point. He had said this to us. He said this, that the Lord our God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you fellow Israelites. And this prophet has come, Emmanuel, God with us. And he will save all of humanity. So you are very blessed. You are very blessed by the one true God. So well done. Well done, my friends. It is always good to remember. Ah, but that reminds me of a day long, long ago that I celebrated with my family, that very first Passover. Passover has become a night where we feast and tell the story of what happened while sitting back and enjoying each other's company, maybe like you have done so today. But not that night. Oh, what a night that was. That night, nobody sat. A few days earlier, after months of waiting, while Pharaoh kept changing his mind, Moses had told us that it was finally time for us to get ready to leave out of Egypt. And he told us to prepare a special meal for us to eat while we waited to go. So as we stood around the table with our traveling cloaks on and sandals on our feet, we sat there and we had everything that we owned right in front of us. Well, at least everything that we could carry. You see, that night, we were all on alert as we passed around the bread. Not the usual soft bread, but the flat, crisp bread that was made without yeast. And we made it in a hurry because we just didn't know when we would be given the signal to go. And as we stood, we ate the lamb. 4 days earlier, I chosen a young male lamb from our flock, and it was a perfect lamb, the very best lamb that we had. And on that night of that feast, my oldest son, Ephraim, and I killed it. I then took a branch, dipped it in the blood of the lamb, and spread it up across the door frame of our house, just as Moses had said. And it was after that I called all of my children in. And as I watched them come through the door covered with blood, I especially watched my son Ephraim. I wondered if this blood would be enough to keep him safe. I wondered if it was enough to keep me safe, for I too am a firstborn. Yahweh had told Moses that all the Israelite firstborn sons would be safe because of their blood, but the Egyptian firstborn sons would die. Let me tell you, it wasn't easy to trust Yahweh, our ancestors' gods. We'd been living in Egypt for so long, for 400 years. Sure, our parents had told us the stories about Abraham and Isaac, about Jacob and Joseph, about their travels from Ur to Canaan to Egypt, and that the promise of that their God would one day take us back and make us a great nation and given us a land of our own. We knew all of these stories. But our people worshipped the Egyptian gods too. Now, those of you here who only worship the one true God might judge us for that, but you have to understand that is all we knew. The Egyptians served many gods, and it was no big deal to them. Why should it be any different with us? Yahweh might have been there to help Joseph read the Pharaoh's dreams a long time ago. But when the Pharaohs turned against us and made us their slaves, this God seemed pretty quiet. So we adapted. We held on to the hope that the God of our ancestors would make good on his promise. But in the meantime, we kept our options open and we prayed to the Egyptian gods too. Then along came Moses. And Moses brought his brother Aaron along. And they claimed that Yahweh had said it was time to set us free. Well, of course, we wanted some proof of this, that God had really spoken to Moses in this burning bush of his. So Aaron threw down his staff, and it became a snake. He put his hand into his cloak, and when it came out, it was diseased. And when he put it back in and pulled it back out, it was healed. We were amazed. With signs like that, that he was the one true God, how could Pharaoh ever refuse Moses' demands? Ah, but we were wrong. I went with Aaron and the other elders, and we all went with Moses when he spoke to Pharaoh, and he demanded that we be set free. He did the same miraculous signs as he showed to us. But Pharaoh, he just laughed in our faces. Because you see, his magicians could do those very same tricks. The snake, the diseased hands, they did those same things. The staff, it also became a snake. Pharaoh, not only did he order us back to work, he made us work twice as hard. A few of us thought that we saw that the snake from Aaron's staff swallow up the Egyptian snake. But still, it seemed like in this battle between Yahweh and the Egyptian gods and magicians, we weren't completely sure who would win. Then the plagues started. At first, again, it looked like a stalemate. Our God turned the water of the Nile into blood, and the Pharaoh's magicians did the same thing. Our God made Egypt swarm with frogs, and the magicians, they did the same thing too. Pharaoh, he was getting so smug and so arrogant. And sadly, our people started complaining to Moses about his God. Still, I noticed that even though Pharaoh's magicians could copy what Yahweh was doing, not one of them could reverse it. And pretty soon, our God got the upper hand. First, he sent gnats, huge clouds of them rising out of the dust. Then flies swarmed so thick that you couldn't even see the horizon. And then death. Death to the livestock. And then death to the crops. Followed by days of darkness. The Egyptian magicians couldn't do anything. The Egyptians' so-called gods were also powerless. Osiris, the god of the Nile, couldn't cleanse his own waters. Hecate, the goddess of fertility, and Hathor, the cow goddess, couldn't save the crops or the cattle. And Athapet, the god of healing, couldn't make those boils go away. And Ra, the sun god, was obliterated from the sky. It was becoming pretty obvious to me that no magician, no god or goddess was more powerful than our God, than Yahweh. Truth be told, not all of our people saw it that way. How could one God be enough? We knew that Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, they all worshiped this one God. But still, there are other powers out there. What's wrong with taking advantage of any power that can help us, maybe? But God was calling us to choose them or him. To trust that he alone, the one true God, is enough. And that's the question I wrestled with on that night of that first Passover. I reminded myself of Moses' instruction that around midnight, Yahweh would go throughout Egypt killing the firstborn of every family, from the poorest slave right up to Pharaoh's own son. But no harm would come to any of our people whose doorway was marked with the lamb's blood. The Egyptian gods and magicians could conjure up frogs and turn water into blood. They could make a healthy hand turn leprous and turn a staff into a snake. But were they powerful enough to save from death? Did I want to place my life and my son's, in the life of my son, into their hands or into the hand of the one God who said that he was powerful enough to save us? You see, Yahweh wasn't offering us a middle path. In order to be saved from the angel of death, we had to walk through the blood and close our doors on the sun and moon and fields and river, on everything that reminded us of the gods of Egypt. And as we stood around the table that night, sharing the bread and eating the lamb, I again watched my son Ephraim. And I knew that we were both thinking about the blood on the doorway, hoping, trusting that it was enough. And all of a sudden, he looked at me, and I saw that we both come to that same conclusion. We were deciding then and there that we would put our trust in Yahweh alone, no matter what anyone else did. Well, a few short hours later, we left Egypt for good. Ephraim and I walked side by side past the homes of the Egyptians, where we heard the sounds of wailing and grieving. We looked, we saw them standing hollow-eyed, clutching the bodies of their sons. I knew, without a shadow of a doubt, the power of God. And it left me shaking in my sandals. Right then and there, I gave thanks to Yahweh for his mercy and for the blood of the Lamb. And so every time that I celebrate Passover, it reminds me of the commitment that I had made. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it is a commitment that has carried me through those years in the wilderness, that carried me right through into the promised land. Oh, I have seen the power of these other so-called gods. And some of my people have been seduced by them. But I know that there is only one true God who has the power to save. And he calls us to choose between them and him, that there is no middle ground. I wonder, just as I remind myself every time I have Passover, I wonder, do you do the same when you take the bread and the juice? When you remember Emmanuel who has saved you, do you commit and recommit yourself to serve him only? You see, I am sure you have gods now. They may not be Ra or Osiris or Hathor, but they may be anything that ye place above the one true God in whom you serve. You are only fooling yourselves, as my people have, who thought that they could have it both ways. You can only serve one God, the one true God, or these other things. There is no middle ground. So, may you be able to say the same as I have said. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord only. So shalom. Shalom, my friends. God's peace be with you. May you live in peace. May you serve in peace. Thank you for allowing me to be here today. Shalom, my friends. Shalom. Shalom.